That's the way it goes. Yeah, that's right. Hey, I write stuff down on my desk at home, and I look at it and I think, Sherry will say, what does this mean? I don't know. I don't know what's that number go to? I don't know. I write it down thinking, I'll remember writing it down. I'll remember what it is. I don't remember what it is. Oh, well. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, and continuing on with a little bit of studying about praying. We've looked at some things already. We looked at the invitation to pray. We looked at the promise of the presence of the one we are praying to. We also talked about the atmosphere of prayer, the address of prayer, and then several keys. A lot of those, of course, are keys, key to prayer. And tonight we're going to look at another thing, or a couple more things that are involved in the secret of having a successful prayer life. And tonight we'll look at the guarantee of prayer. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, the Bible says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." Heavenly Father, we thank You for the service that we had this morning, and then tonight, good numbers come back, and we pray, Lord, that You speak to us tonight. Lord, meet with us, so we know we have a guarantee on that. Lord, that You're here if we're gathered in Your name, and we are. And so, Lord, I pray that we all get what we need, and that You fill this place with Your presence, that we're so aware of You being here with us tonight. Speak to our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. It says there in this text that if, and this is key, if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Now, see, that tells us a couple things right there. You know, sometimes people cut things off in prayer. They say, well, you know, if you ask anything in His name, well, then He hears us, which means, and in that context, not only does it mean He hears us, but it'll answer our prayer. And so a lot of times people say, well, you've asked anything in the name of Jesus, and I spoke about this a couple weeks ago or last week. You know, sometimes you think just putting the name, tagging in the name of Jesus on the back of it's going to guarantee an answer to your prayer. Well, you know, that's not true. And then in every case, the answer could be no in a case, but we're talking about when the answer is yes. I want you to think about this. This tells us a couple things. And one of the things that it tells us in this verse, that there's a limit, or you can, let me ask you this in a question wise, is there a limit to what we can ask or a limit to what God will do? Is there a limit to what we can ask or a limit to what God will do? Absolutely is. He just said right here, He said, listen here, He said, and we have this, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. See, it's the limit of what God will do is in according, is the key is in according to His will. If we pray according to God's will, then He'll hear us, then He'll answer us, and we know that would be the prayer that He would answer in a, you know, in a positive way. You know, anything that we ask according to His will is guaranteed. And that's what produces, we see that word there, confidence. This is the confidence. We're told to come to the throne of grace boldly. And that's the thing that allows us to approach the throne of grace boldly, is knowing that we're praying in His will. You know, a lot of times we're not confident when we pray because we're praying for something that we know that's probably not in His will. I've had Christian people that knew the Bible pretty well. I mean, they've been saved a long time, and they would make comments about certain things that we even have a word of God that said not to do it. And they say, well, I prayed about it, and you know, I had peace about it, and God led me to do it. Nah, God never leads you to do anything that's against His word. He's not going to, you can't have any confidence about that. You just prayed about it, and that's what you wanted to do. And so you determined in your mind that that was God's will, and you went ahead and did it. And, you know, that happens a lot. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we're not confident also because we're not sure what God's will is on a matter. Not sure what God's will is. So we don't really have confidence when we pray. Maybe we just pray and dream up something, you know, in our mind. But, you know, it's not really in the mind of God. Now, when you think about this, and as far as the mind of, you know, well, how do we know? how do we know what the will of God is? Well, you know, right off the bat, we know there's certain things, and generally speaking, God's will is known in a broad way. It's not, you know, God's will is not an unknown will, it's not as if something that we couldn't be sure of. And, you know, one of the biggest reasons I think for ineffectual prayer is that God's people pray a lot of times and hope that their prayer is within the range of God's will somehow. You know, we're going to pray this prayer and we just hope that this will be God in God's will somehow. And especially if you're not praying on I mentioned a minute ago, you know, somebody praying specifically for something that they had a word that we knew wasn't against. But in an area that might not be a specific word against something, you know, we might not be sure. But you know what it is a lot of times we operate as Christians, we operate in that permissive will of God versus the directive will of God. You know, we operate within some things that God may allow. There's things that are not sin of themselves. Even in the Bible, there were people like, for instance, Paul one time wanted to go, I think it was he wanted to go to Rome earlier than he did go, but, you know, he said he wasn't, that the Holy Spirit, forbid him to go or didn't allow him to go. Now, going to Rome wouldn't have been a sinful thing, other than the fact that if God doesn't want you to go there for any reason and you went, then that would be a sinful thing. But just the act of going there, but, you know, so Paul could have went ahead and went. Now, God would have allowed it probably for him to go, but it wasn't his directive will. It would have just been his permissive will. And so sometimes we operate more in that than a directive will of God. You know, sometimes we pray and we don't get an answer. Or, you know, sometimes we get the answers no, but we don't like the no answer, so we keep praying and praying and praying and keep leaning towards that thing we're trying to do. And, you know, we make these statements like this. Sometimes we pray, we don't get an answer, or we don't get the answer we want, and we say, well, you know, it must not have been God's will, and then we just leave it at that right there. But that's not always the case either. Case in point would be in the book of Daniel. Remember when it said Daniel prayed for 21 days? He prayed for 21 days. It said the prince of Persia, which would have been one of Satan's angels, no doubt. He's got angels like God does. It would have been one of his withstood the angel that was bringing the answer to Daniel, the answer to the prayer. He said, you know, we heard you. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. We God heard you. The answer was on the way, but I was withstood for 21 days in bringing you the answer. So, but he kept on. He kept on. Well, why did Daniel continue to pray for 21 days? Didn't get an answer for God. What would have happened to us right away? Well, we prayed for something. We prayed maybe a couple of times. Maybe even we prayed for 7 days, you know, and we didn't get an answer. What would we have said? Well, must not have been the will of God. Must not have been God's will. But Daniel had some confidence to keep on praying for an answer from God about that. You know, he had confidence that because he was confident that he was in the will of God. He had a confidence about being in the will of God. So, you know, back to that question, how do we know that, you know, how do we know God's will? How do we know specifically God's will? Well, you know, of course, we have God's Word. We understand that, you know, right off the bat. We've got the Word of God, and that gives us a broad principle of God's will. You know, I wonder if I need to pray about this. I need to lie about something. I need to pray about it and see if it would be okay with God. Huh? I mean, you know, we already, how many of you think that would be a good prayer to pray? I mean, we already understand that we're not supposed to lie, right? I mean, we already got a word on it. You know, I feel like killing my neighbor, and I'm going to pray to God about it and see if it'd be all right. You know, so, you know, we already got a principle on that, you know, we shouldn't, there's certain things that we just know. You know, here's some shady or shaky place that you are wanting to go, you want to go in there. You know, I'm going to pray about going into this specific place. And when you already know from the Word of God that we're to abstain from all appearance of evil, and it probably wouldn't be a good idea to go in there, and it wouldn't look good, you know, if you do that, you know, you don't really need to pray about that. And so, you know, we understand that. And so with the Word of God, when you understand the Word of God, we can make a day-to-day application, you know, of particular needs and situations. We understand how to do that. And you know, the great thing about what Bible study is all about, and after you've been saved a long time, you know, it's not like things pop up in life and you got to sit there and say, gee. Now remember, you know, we have the Holy Spirit too, and I haven't got to that yet. But we have to sit there and say, gee, you know, I wonder if this is good, would be a bad thing or not. You know, or if this would be a good thing or not. You know, what we do is we study the Word of God so much that this is where you get where God wants us to be, where how you act is instinctive. You just instinctively know. you instinctively know to turn your cell phone off. You just instinctively know what God's will would be in certain, a lot of generalities in life, right? Something comes up and all of a sudden that little thought goes, well, I'm going to lie to get my way out of it. You already know that's not what you're supposed to do. You're going to steal something. You know, you just already know. You know, and those are big things. But after a while, when you're new Christian or you don't know the will of God that much, you think that there's a great big gray area as concerning God and the things. But the more you know about God and the more you learn about God's word, you ever notice how that gray area starts shrinking on down to where there's just not that much gray area. And so what happens now, you instinctively do, by the guiding of the Holy Spirit and knowing the word, you just do what it comes natural. You know, it comes natural. It's not like you got to sit there and say, okay, this is what I want to do. Let me hunt through the whole Bible. I got to get a thesaurus and a biblical dictionary and an index and go down through there and see if that topic's in there and make sure by the word of God. You know, we don't have to, every time we make a move in life, we don't have to get the word of God out to study it to see that if it's okay or not okay to do it. We that's why we study the word of God. Understand God's word, and then we operate instinctively. I've said many times, and I'll talk about the Holy Spirit in a minute, that, you know, the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us. I mean, He doesn't make a mistake. If we follow Him, it's just like following somebody. If you tell me to follow you to your house, listen, and this drives me nuts. You tell somebody to follow you somewhere, and they fade way back in the car to where you ever get speedy. Don't get speedy to follow you nowhere, man. You'll never get there. They fade way back. They're out of sight. You're making turns, and they won't keep up with you and all that. If you tell me to follow you, listen, I'm glued on your bumper. If I don't know where I'm going, I'll probably run into you. You know, if you stop all of a sudden, I'm going to hit you. I'm right there because I don't know where I'm going. I'm going to stay. But I don't need to know how to get there because I'm following you. You know, follow the Holy Spirit's leading. You don't need to know everything. Just follow the Holy Spirit's leading. And so, God guides us through His Word. Through His Word. He guides us through His Word and the Holy Spirit. And that, you know, also this guiding is also included in our prayer life. God guides us that. You know, we learn increasingly to avoid asking for what the Holy Scriptures have taught us that would not be in accordance with God's will. You just learn that. You just know it. You know, that wouldn't be God's will. This would be God's will. You remember the bracelet thing years ago. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? I heard a fellow say, I don't need to know what Jesus would do, in a sense, because he said, I got the Holy Spirit dwelling in my heart to tell me what. I don't have to have a bracelet on to remind me about that. But that's okay. What would Jesus do? We learn that. We know what it is. Like I said, we don't need to pray about murdering somebody. We don't need to pray about going certain places that wouldn't bring honor to God. We don't need to pray about saying things that are not edifying or building up brothers and sisters in Christ. We don't need to pray about doing any act that would be sin. You know, that covers about everything. Well, you know, one of the things you do, they say this, you know, you never know somebody real well till you live with them. You know, well, if you live with somebody, you know, you know them pretty well after a while. You know how they are. Well, that's the quickest way to learn about somebody. Go live with them. Well, of course, now we're talking about God. How do you know what's the quickest way to learn about God? You live with God, walk with God every day in the Word, and leading with the Holy Spirit. You know, those type of things right there. It's the closer you walk day by day to the Lord, the more you know exactly what He would do. Abiding always leads to obeying. And then we come to know the mind of Christ. You know, in human relationships sometimes, you know somebody real well. And something pops up, situation pops up. And you say this, you know, you say, I knew you'd say that. Well, how'd you know I'd say that? Because, you know, you knew if you're saying it about me. That you knew me well enough to know what I might say in a certain situation. Or, you know, we say this, I knew what you were thinking. How do you know what somebody's thinking? Because you've been around them really well. You just know that. I knew that's what you would do. We make those comments in human relationships right there. Well, you only can say that when you've been around somebody a long enough time to know their nature, know how they act, react, respond, those type things right there. Okay, well, the same thing when it comes to God and God's Word and the Holy Spirit right there. You know God. John 15:7 says, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." It shall be done unto you. So if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, it doesn't say you can ask or you may ask. It says ye shall ask. And I like that. I underline that. Ye shall ask. That means that you're going to ask the right thing. The request would be according to God's will because you are abiding in, you're abiding in Christ. His words are abiding in you. Ye shall ask, and I'm going to just paraphrase it, the right thing. You just will ask the right thing. You know, you'll pray in a right way. You'll know you'll automatically know that. I think that's an important thing. Abiding in Christ, it's important. When we are abiding in Him, we will only ask what's within the divinely imposed limit of God's will. That's what we pray about. You know, a lot of times we pray about so many things that are just in our mind and not what's in God's mind. I think I said last week this, you know, our praying is and maybe I'm going to say it tonight, I can't remember. Praying is to get God's will done on earth. It's not to get our will done on earth or our will done in heaven. Praying is to get God's will done. That's what we pray about. God wants us to pray about that. And that's when we have effective prayer life. And so, like I said, when we're abiding in Him, we're only going to pray that's what's in His divinely imposed limit of His will. The Holy Spirit's leading you a certain way. And, you know, it begs the question. I know you can think of all kinds of things, and I do. If the Holy Spirit's leading me this way, I'm going this way, do I need to pray about going this way? Yeah, you should still pray about going that way, you know, to have that confidence in what may lie ahead. We were looking in our Sunday school class. We're studying the Israelites when they were getting ready to go over into the Promised Land, and they got all the spies to go. And, you know, the 10 of the spies said, "Oh, man, everything looks good, but they got giants and this, that, and the other thing." And then Caleb Caleb and Joshua, they said, "No, listen, we can go." Now, you know, they prayed about it. I mean, Moses sent the spies over there because they wanted to get a whole plan together to go. I mean, they knew that that's where God was leading. They should have went. We talked about all that. And the reason that, you know, you still plan about things and you still pray about things along the way, even though they know as a whole they were going the way that God wanted them to go. And so that, you know, that's important. Now, another point here that I want to see, the heights of His will. The second point, the heights of His will. God's will is the summit of everything. That's it. And, you know, sometimes people act like though it's the depth of everything. They'll speak in kind of a low, depressed tones like this. "Well, it must have been God's will." Huh? Yeah, like God's will has got to be the worst. You can almost hear the cello music. You know, some low dirge playing along where, it was God's will. No, listen, God's will is always the best. Huh? It was God's will. You know, it was God's will, and we may not always understand it. You know, we don't have to understand it, but, it's not a travesty. God's will is not a travesty. And so, actually, the opposite of that is true. It's the heights. It's the heights. His will is the heights. Listen, as I said, the purpose of prayer is to get God's will done. And whatever God's will is, obviously, it's going to be a lot better than our will. Because you can see how our will's been working out in the world. Man's, in general. Look how the world is going now. Man, it is a mess, the way it's going. It's not God's will that's been getting done. And so, this is one of the secrets of successful prayer. You know, it's God's will. Now, you know what? A lot of people are afraid of God's will. They're afraid of that. You know, it's hard to say, even Jesus said, nevertheless, when he talked about the cup passing from him, talking about what was coming up at Calvary, spoke about that this morning a little bit. He said, if it's possible, that this cup pass from me. He said, but nevertheless, Not my will. He said, but thy will be done. Amen. He said, thy will. Now, you know, a lot of times, I know that we know we're supposed to say that, but I think a lot of times people say it, but they don't really mean it because they're really afraid of what their will might entail, what God's will might entail. I mean, God's will could, could be a big thing. Sell out, move up, you know, do something full-time Christian ministry, missionary, you know, it could be a lot of things. I mean, there. So people are saying, man, I don't want to pray. You know, I don't want and then we get back to that other phase I talked about earlier where we're just hoping that our will is lining up with God's will or that our will is somewhere inside the permissive will of God somehow that he's going to let our will get done. And so there, I think our prayer life is effective in that case right there. You know, we need to have, when we're praying and the Holy Spirit's lead, see, the Holy Spirit's going to lead us according to God's will. When we pray in that line right there, our prayers get answered. Our prayers get answered. So it's a secret for that. As I said, we look at it, and a lot of people think of it this way with their prayer life, like the purpose of prayer is to get our will done, hoping God will go along with it, hoping God will help us along to get our will done. And then a lot of times, you know, God just doesn't answer. He says no, and we don't want to take no for an answer, so we don't listen to that. You know, that's not what our prayer. It's like, you know, God's up there. He's up there for us. You know, that's what people are thinking. This isn't correct now. They think God's up there for us in a sense. Now, listen, there's a lot of blessings God gives us. But the whole thing is not set up this way. Like, we're down here, and God's up there for us, so we can just call on him and get everything we want and get all our wills done and get our needs all met. And God's our 911 service. That's what we call. That's not what it's all about. What it's all about is that we're down here for God. You know, we're God's people. God, you know, God is our God, but you look at it like this way. We're God's people. We're down here so that we can glorify God. That's what God's will is. I'm going to tell you, you know, I said a few minutes ago, the overall, we know what the overall will of God is through the Word of God. I'm going to give you what the overall purpose for your life is as a Christian. It's to glorify God. That's it. I mean, that's the whole plan. God don't care nothing about, and I'm going to say that in a general sense, God doesn't care anything else about anything else. We're here to glorify God. Now, God blesses us. I know he does. He does care about our life. I'm not saying that. I know he cares about things. But what he's trying to do is get us to the place where we understand our purpose in life is to glorify God. If we don't get to that place in life, we're going to be unsatisfied. We're not going to be a satisfied person because that we're not fulfilling what we've originally been created for to glorify God. God made himself, or made us for himself. He's the creator. He created us and he wants us to honor and glorify him. And so, God's will in a matter is always going to be best no matter what it is. A hymn writer once said this, he gives the very best to those who leave the choice to him. He gives the very best to those who leave the choice to him. Because, see, we really don't know. We can't see past the end of our nose. We don't know what's going on tomorrow, much like 10 minutes from now, a minute from now. We don't know. We're trying to guide our life and somehow plan our life. I heard a little commercial. I think it was on TV in the background or something. Somewhere I heard it. And this makes sense, too. It said, I think it might have been on TV. It says, so you signed a 30-year mortgage. You bought a house and you signed a contract for a 30-year mortgage, not knowing what the future holds, not knowing where, you know, how long your job's going to last. You know, think about this. We did this, didn't we? We all bought houses. We signed a 30-year mortgage, not knowing what the future holds, not knowing what lies ahead. And the commercial said, you got a lot of confidence in yourself, don't you? Huh? You kind of believe in yourself. Well, in a sense, that's what we do. We do kind of. Why would you sign a 30-year mortgage on a house? Of course, you figure the bank would just take it back, I guess. But you got some confidence that you, your wife, you know, you signed. You got confidence that you're going to be able to pay it off. You know, a loan for anything doesn't have to be a house. But we don't really know, you know, what the next day might hold. You have confidence in yourself. But see, God knows. You know, God knows. And so, you know, when we leave the choice to him, he gives, you know, he's going to give us the best. We just put our confidence in that. Colossians 1:9 says, for this cause we also, Since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Let me read that again. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire, this is the prayer, that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will. What a prayer this is, right? How many times do we pray that prayer? This is somebody else praying. Paul, desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Well, there's a prayer that God will answer. Isn't that God's will, that we know His will? We already know that, right? But it's still not a bad thing to pray for. Pray that God's will be done. And see, Paul wrote that. He said that we cease not to pray for you and desire that ye might be filled with all knowledge of His will. The knowledge of His will. You got to be filled with that and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Knowledge of His Word. Abiding in Christ. Filling of the Holy Spirit. This is how you know what God's will is. That's how you know it. And so, you know, we pray about that. I mean, that's an important thing. And then the third thing is the instructor of His will. You can look back up there to Romans chapter 8. Be good. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. I think I'm going to back up to another one in a minute. It says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself, or Himself, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So here we think about, you know, praying. You know, when we first learn how to pray, you know, our prayers are pretty superficial and we know not, you know, we don't know. But here it tells us here that the Holy Spirit Himself teaches us to pray. And there's four ways at least. I'm going to give you four ways. There may be more ways that He does this. Number one, we see that He prepares us. Remember I used, I think, last week, the illustration of being invited into the presence of the King. You know, you don't know how to pray. How do you come to God in prayer? How do we do that? How do we do it? You know, coming into the presence of a King, you just don't go rushing in there any old way. You know, rushing into the presence of a King. I use some clothing illustrations. Sometimes in life, people get invited to a black tie event. And you know what a black tie event is? If it's black tie, that means the men are going to be wearing tuxedos, not bright yellow ones with, you know, paisleys all over them either. It's, you know, it's going to be a tux, a formal tux, black tie. You're going to be in a black tie event. If you don't have on a black tie, if you don't have on a tux, guess what? You're not getting in. they're not going to let you in t-shirt and flip-flops at a black tie event. So you have a preparation that you have to do for that. Now, of course, we don't have to have a tux to come into the presence of the Lord to pray. But let me ask you this. Is there preparation required? Is there any preparation required to come into the presence of the Lord to pray? Amen. I think, you know, how many times, though, do we rush into the presence of the Lord? Man, I need to pray. Let's just go ahead and spit it out. Haven't spit. You know, and I try to point this out, too, as far as, like, just coming to church. Coming to church tonight. Probably, you know, it would better serve us if we prepared to come to worship. Instead of, you know, standing there with your coat on, your tie, your Bible on your hand, your notebook, and you got your remote control in there watching that last play on the football game, clicking it off and running out the door to come to church. You know, it probably wouldn't hurt to spend a little time in prayer, maybe read your Bible just a little bit, kind of get a spiritual attitude straightened out to do that. Now, I know we do that a lot of times. But preparing to pray, do we put any thought into that? Or just like, and I can use this illustration for worshiping too. Like I've said, man, you know, come to church. What are you expecting to happen? What are you looking for? What do you want to happen? What are you finding out? You just want it to hurry up and get over with. You know, whatever. Any preparation, do we need to prepare our hearts to pray? Amen. Yeah, you know, I think, and listen, pray in itself is a preparation of sorts, but I still think we can prepare. Are there any demands made upon us, upon our readiness of spirit, you know, as we get ready to pray? Yeah, I think so. You know, I think one of the things in the clothing illustration, I think we need to be clothed in humility. Thinking about that awesomeness that I talked about, being invited into the presence of the Creator of the universe to pray. to speak to him about anything. That's just an awesome thing right there. Clothed in humility, and then confession of sin. Usually confession of sin and humility will go hand in hand. That'll usually humble you pretty good. And if you got to be pretty humble to, confess sin anyway. And then adjustment of our hearts. You know, we got to adjust our heart, adjust our attitude sometimes there. All that goes, you know, together. I think they're kind of intertwined there. If we're listening, the Holy Spirit of God does those things for us. The Holy Spirit of God speaks to us as we get ready to pray, as we get ready to worship, to do any of those things. The Holy Spirit of God guides us in that area. There's a lot of times we don't know. We don't know. We have to listen to the Holy Spirit. He guides us in our initial approach, the second thing. Especially in the light of a new believer, doesn't know what to say or how to begin. And I'll tell you, sometimes, too, even anybody, doesn't know exactly what to do or, you know, how to begin those things. In Acts 2:4, there was a lot of new believers there. And it said they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And then the Bible says they begin to speak. They begin to speak. And they begin to praise God and they begin to pray. Well, where did they learn all that? They learned it from the Holy Spirit himself. The Holy Spirit filled him, and he just knew what to do. I can remember the very first time I went on visitation, went out to talk to somebody. I thought, man, I'm just going to sit back and not say anything. I'll let these other people, they know what they're talking about. I don't know what I'm talking about. Man, we got in there and they was beating around a bush and wasn't getting started, I guess. And I don't know. But anyway, I started doing the talking, and I was talking to them and talking to these people about the Lord. And I remember thinking to myself, I didn't know where I was thinking, like, where is these words coming from, man? I was thinking that while I was saying them. The words are coming out, and I'm going, wow, man. this is just all coming out. Where'd that come from? Well, it was God, you know, God was doing it. So, you know, the same thing with praying. If we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, when we pray, or we don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit will lead us in that area right there. So he guides our initial approach as sometimes we don't know. And notice, too, when you look in Acts, I like this, a little side lesson, too. When they were filled with the Holy Spirit, guess what? They praised God. Amen. I mean, they praised God. They did. He guides our desires. For it says, for we know not what we should pray. Was that in the verse I gave you? 8:26. Yeah. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We don't. Look at verse 27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And, the Holy Spirit makes this intercession according to the will of God. And, the filling of the Holy Spirit, as I said, is the cure for most, if not all, of our problems, certainly our spiritual problems on praying rightly and worshiping and praising God and all those things, the filling of the Holy Spirit will cure a lot of the ailments that we have right there. And then occasionally, there's desires that are deep, or we just not sure, or we don't know, how to express in words what we want to say. Well, then it says there, the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us in that case right there. We're just not sure. Sometimes you just can't pray. You're in awe in that sense, and the Holy Spirit prays for us. And this is another great prayer secret there. And then the fourth thing is, he will get glory for Christ. He will get glory for Christ, the Holy Spirit. It's the one thing for which the Holy Spirit's always working. John 16:14 says, and speaking about the Holy Spirit, said, he shall glorify me. He shall glorify me. So to our point, he will secure glory for Christ through the believer's prayer life if we seek to learn how to pray and seek to learn how to pray triumphantly. In verse 8:26, it speaks about our infirmities. Our infirmities. Our infirmities are such that we can never of ourselves glorify the Lord Jesus. I mean, only through the Holy Spirit can we do there. And that's nowhere more apparent than it is in our prayer life. Of ourselves, we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But of course, the Holy Spirit of God, He knows, what we should pray for, how we should pray. So I think that's another prayer secret right there. You know, praying in the will of God. Praying in the will of God. And you know, that's the secret to answered prayer. Getting God's will done. I mean, God's got a will. Listen, I mean, you know, and it's like you look back in the Old Testament, He talked about, He was looking for a man to stand in a gap. Now, God had a will there. You know, God had a will. You know what the will was? He said, I'm looking for a man to stand in the gap. I'm trying to go off my memory, but it was for the land. It had to do for the land. And you know, to somebody would stand in the gap, and then God said He wouldn't destroy the land if He found a man to stand in the gap. That was God's will. Now, guess what? He didn't find a man to stand in the gap. Nobody stood in the gap. So what happened? He destroyed the land. That's what happened. But God had a will here. Now, if there had been a praying man that said, Lord, I'm praying what you will in this matter, and the Holy Spirit led that guy to stand in the gap, guess what? God's will would have been done. He wouldn't have destroyed the land in that sense. There would have been somebody standing in the gap. So God's got a will there that we need to be praying about. And sometimes God's will on earth doesn't get done because God's people aren't praying for the will of God to be done. Oh yeah, God could override it all. I know that, but that's not how God chose to operate. God chose to operate through His people. You know, and so there's the key right there, is getting God's will done on earth through us. You know, and you wonder how many times God's will doesn't get done exactly, or maybe ultimately it will in certain things, but how God's will doesn't get done because we're not praying, you know, and abiding in Christ, understanding His will, praying to get God's will done on earth, that will accomplish, what we need for it to. This little experiment didn't work out so hot, did it?
We learned a little bit.
What'd you learn? That's what I thought. You're now qualified to be an adult.